People, wake up.
I don't know why you were so dramatic right there.
Well, it's time to open your eyes to democracy. Thank you.
I think that I was going to go for like an eagle, and then yeah. I realized halfway through that if I scream on that, it wasn't going to be good. So I went sing-songy.
I thought that falsetto was pretty solid. It is voting day.
Yeah.
Here in Washington State, United States.
It's the best day.
Yep. And we decided as a CFD to talk a little bit about it because, I mean, shoot, it's happening right now.
Yeah. I mean, why not? It's our right.
Yeah. And it's the, I'm going to venture to say, one of the more intense midterm elections we've ever had.
I would say that is happening currently right now. Yeah.
What I'm going to tell you is that we are not going to dive in to current politics. That's not something the CFD has done or pretty much, frankly, ever will do as far as I can see. We're not going to talk about, you know, who's doing better, Republicans or Democrats and all that sort of stuff. What we are going to talk to you about is the history of voting in this country and sort of the state of it today. And I think given the fact that we are in the agency that deals with elections, this is actually a pretty great little topic to talk about.
I agree. And I think that what's really cool about voting and where we actually are is that we're actually housed within the Secretary of State's office. So even though that we have nothing to do with elections, but what we do is we house a lot of different charitable organizations that are very impacted by those. So even though that we remain nonpartisan and don't have a bias either way, what I think is really cool is that we still get to like know and experience what's going on, and we can listen to our charities that are in our program and talk to them about the effects that they have on either side of the aisle.
Wow, I actually love what you did there.
Well, thank you.
You like brought it all the way back to CFD. That is actually true.
That's
though.
Actually part of my job.
That's a good point, marketing and development director. Yeah. We should actually probably also introduce ourselves.
Oh, yeah, that might be a good
start. Why not do that? I am Philip Kerrigan, the program manager of the Washington State CFD, and you are?
I'm Jerrica Ferguson, the marketing and direct development.
That's correct. You got that. I mean, you've only been doing these podcasts now for a
every
month and a half.
Every time I screw it up.
That's okay. You still only... You
I mean,
got
technically
a,
longer.
You still
do
got
you remember
a
Bellingham? Hashtag quiz. Hashtag throwback to last year.
Oh, speaking of quiz, Jerrica is going to give me a quiz.
Yeah.
At the end of this particular podcast.
Yeah, because I'm going to have to look up the answers to make sure I'm right. So I don't like tell you that I'm right. And then you'll be like, you didn't know that. And then I'll be like, excuse me, logically speaking, it's stone fruit.
Logically speaking, it is stone fruit. People just get used to it.
Get used to it.
No
context.
So, yeah, we're not offering you context. No. We're moving on.
Yeah.
So, Jerrica did hit the nail on the head. One of the big things, another big reason why voting matters is not just because you get to decide who runs the government and how budgets are made and all those sort of things, ultimately. But we have a lot of charities that talk about how they get government funding.
Yep.
We have a lot
state
of charities
funding,
who get
local
state funding,
funding
and local funding.
City and county funding.
And so who you vote for, nationally, yes, who you vote for matters. But who you vote for locally also matters very much.
It really matters actually specifically to your community, whether you want to pay more taxes, less taxes on certain topics that you're really passionate about or not very passionate about. It can really make a big impact on the ability of who you vote for. It's not just because you vote for the same person over and over, you're getting the same thing. People can change, different things like that. So I think it comes to a big factor of really engaging in your civic leaders and community leaders, whether they're nonprofits, whether they're businesses, and get a whole perspective of, you know, the person that you're voting for. I don't think it's a bad thing to be more engaged.
So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to go, we're going to give you a sense of democracy around the world, which I think will, you know, we have a lot of back and forth all the time about, you know, how bad it is in this country and how tough it is. There's a lot of places where democracy still doesn't flourish.
Yeah.
Or exist. Flat out exists.
Yeah.
Right. So as of 2016. 97 out of 167 countries are considered democracies.
Wow.
That means that there are literally 60 countries, no, 70 countries that are not actually considered democracies.
Which is insane.
That's
It's 2018.
Yeah.
And like, we're a very global like world. Like, we're very connected mm-hmm. through to different societal things, economic exchanges. It is very interesting that we there's still countries that don't run on democracy, a democratic government.
Yeah, and let's give you a completely non-professional definition of what democracy yes. is. Democracy is free voting.
Mm-hmm.
It's freedom of the press.
Mm-hmm.
And it is freedom for citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And those are essentially the three things that Freedom House, which are the folks who put this together,
mm-hmm.
those are basically the three tenets, as far as they're concerned, that equals mm-hmm. a full-on democracy.
Mm-hmm.
They rate you in your
That's
country
correct.
Based on those basically yeah. 3 to 4. They have some other intangible mm-hmm. other intangible things in there as well. But the main things are freedom of the press, your ability to vote for whomever mm-hmm. you want, and freedom to your people.
Correct. I know that they also, when he talks about ratings, kind of deals with like, you know, some countries that may be claiming democracy or are more democratic may not have as many women's rights.
Yes.
And so they do range That's that right. on their scale if you do want to look it up
That's right.
online.
That's right. And one of the terms that I think is a really good one is it was actually kind of crafted by a gentleman named Fareed Zakaria. If those of you watch CNN, he's on Sundays.
Is Sunday. This a plug for
Sundays at 10?
Yes.
But
CNN one, sponsor us.
But one of the things he coined was a thing called illiberal democracy,
mm-hmm.
which is essentially not a dictatorship,
mm-hmm.
but a government that was democratically elected that still works to kind of hide the opposition,
right.
you know, kind of quelch some of the freedom of the press, that sort of stuff, sort of an illiberal democracy,
right.
if you will.
Yeah.
And so those particular countries are not considered full-on democracies.
Yeah.
Africa and South America are two of the places that have seen the most improvement in the last 30
good.
Years. So that's good.
That's good.
We obviously, that's the thing. We only ever see the struggles that come out of Africa. We never
Correct.
See
I think, good news. Yeah, I think that's a tough thing too, is when, you know, when we talk about charitable organizations that are affected by through voting and different mm-hmm. things, is we've talked to our own charity partners in these countries that make a global difference in like Togo, that see that when they have to work with those governments,
yeah.
not even our own government, work with those governments, they are either pushed out or threatened. They are really fighting to be there to help these yeah. people in these regions. We have a ability here in the United States to be able to voice that we strongly oppose something, and we get less backlash than if these countries that our charities are in, if they do the same thing, mm-hmm. they can receive harsh punishment.
Yeah.
And I think what's unique is that we have a moment in time right now where we can communicate and hear these stories of whether they're hope or tragedy, and we can do something yep. about it.
That's right. The really cool thing, as Secretary Wyman has actually said before, when somebody has asked, well, what about term limits for senators? What about term limits for folks? Her answer is always really awesome. It's there are term limits. It's called voting.
Exactly. It happens every 2 months, 2 years, 4 years, 6 years.
Yep.
I mean, you have every chance to do it. And yep. I think that's the thing, is whatever you do or you don't like someone in office, or you do think someone should run for office in Washington State, you have the ability to write in votes.
Yeah.
You have an ability to do a lot of different things that a lot of states don't even have the opportunity to.
Yeah.
We have mail-in ballots, which gives you almost 2 weeks to turn in your ballot. This year alone, you don't even have to pay for postage.
Mm-hmm.
I think we are really privileged to
yeah.
be able to
no
have
question.
This chance to vote the way that we do in Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we actually don't get as high as numbers that come out.
That's right.
Even though we have such an easy way of voting.
No. And let me give you the juxtaposition right here. So according to Freedom House, that very organization that we've quoted on the other couple of statistics, 25% of the world is considered still not free. That's a quarter of the world's population live in areas mm-hmm. where they are not considered free.
It's really easy to like visualize that too, mm-hmm. right? You just look at the world, split
Cut
that.
Cut it in a quarter.
Yep.
Right? And then there are 71 countries who have suffered net declines in political rights and civil liberties in 2017.
Goodness.
So even though we have seen certain regions of the world do fairly well, like Africa and South America, there are still places that struggle
Correct.
To institute proper mm-hmm. democracy and proper mm-hmm. freedoms mm-hmm. In their countries.
Yeah.
Let's give you some, we're going to give you some U.S. Voting facts.
Ooh, facts.
Yes, Jerrica loves facts, mm-hmm. especially voting facts.
I do. I'm a big fan.
So voting in the U.S. Started with only landowning white men upon the ratification of the Constitution. Mm-hmm. That's changed slightly.
Yep.
Let me give you the years where that changed.
Okay.
And maybe I'll just do a little quiz for you.
Yeah, we'll do a little back and forth.
Okay. So I want you to give me, I'm not going to ask for the year.
Okay.
I'm going to ask for the amendment that introduced these voting rights.
Okay.
So what number was the amendment that opened voting rights based on race?
Is that the 13th?
Oh, so close. The 15th. It was a part of the 13th, 14th, 15th block.
Okay. Okay.
In 1869.
Okay.
How about voting rights by gender?
Well, women's right federally was 1920.
Mm-hmm. You got that first part right.
Washington is 1910.
Well done, Washington.
Is it the part of the 14th?
Oh, 19th Amendment.
Dang it. I'm like sucking. I should know that.
By the way, is it not insane that like it took basically 50 years mm-hmm. to get to go from folks being able to vote freely by race mm-hmm. Than to gender? It took 50 more years.
I just think it's insane that we were doing that in the first place. But,
Oh, side note.
Side note. I just think it's weird that we weren't seeing, all humans as human mankind.
Pretty ridiculous. And then how about by age? What's the amendment that allowed 18-year-olds to vote?
I feel like I've probably already said it out of all the random numbers. No?
No, you have not. It's later. So it's one of the later amendments.
20.
26.
Well, okay. I was leading into the 20s. I was like leading in like, is it in the 20s?
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. It's fine. It's 26. So you go.
26, everybody.
Yeah.
Jerrica, can you tell me what the highest presidential voter turnout in modern American history was? So since 1932, what was the year?
And this is national.
Is the presidential election
correct? Would this be in the 80s?
No. Good one. Oh, good
okay.
guess.
Okay, so lower. So it was younger than that.
So we were definitely not born.
Well, I wasn't born in the 80s.
Correct. And this is before I was born.
Okay. So, okay. And I'm just picking a percentage.
Absolutely.
Are we looking at 75, 80%?
62% is the highest voter turnout in modern American history. By the way, that's sad.
Yeah. I mean, that's barely just over 50. Half. I just don't. Okay. I'm just going to go rant.
She's going on a rant.
I don't understand why people don't vote. And it's not a protest vote. I'm sorry. I'm going to just lay my opinion here. I just don't agree that it's a protest vote because you can find somebody or you should do your due diligence. Mm-hmm. And I'm calling out a certain family member who I've named on this podcast before. And he needs to, because even though I've ranted to him, mm-hmm. and of course, you have the right to or not to. I'm not ever going to take that away or anyone should. Yeah. But it's important. And if you really don't think that you can find somebody or you don't Absolutely. Like the candidates, then you have a duty to go and be civically engaged, join a group, be a part of community, start listening. What's going on? What are your issues that you care about? And it frustrates me because even though, I mean, it's sometimes tough for me to find candidates that I'm interested in.
Right.
But I look at the two candidates or I look at maybe a third that's not considered that I can write in if that's what I want to do.
Right.
And it's a privilege that we have.
Yes,
it's absolutely. A right that we have. And so I just think we just need to take more advantage of it.
Absolutely.
Do you have the year of when that was?
Yeah. So the highest voter turnout was 1960. So it was John F. Kennedy versus Richard Nixon for the presidency in 1960. Wow. It also ironically happened to be one of the tightest races in the history of modern American politics. Wow. I mean, it took another, holy cow, it took another almost 40 years, actually almost 40 years exactly, for there to be as tight a race, and that was Gore versus Bush.
Right.
So for in 1960 was the highest at 62%.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to agree with you, of course. I think number one, there has to be something on a ballot.
yeah.
that compels you to say yes or no or vote for an individual mm-hmm. or not. There has to be one issue on a ballot
mm-hmm.
that compels you to fill it yeah. out. If you fill out one thing on a ballot, you've done your democratic duty.
And the thing is that's what's insane, is it's this percentage isn't that someone just marked once and it's like they're taking like a full ballot in consideration. This is that you didn't even submit.
Correct.
Your ballot.
Yeah, I mean, you got it in the mail. Yeah. It sat with your J. Crew catalog.
Oh, I'm that's sorry. Fancy. You got you shop at J. Crew?
I mean, no.
I was like, dang, Kerrigan.
I mean, all right. So it sat with your IKEA catalog.
That's true. It's sitting over there.
Yeah. Sat with your IKEA catalog collecting dust, and then mm-hmm. the date passed, and you threw it in the garbage.
Yeah. And it's sad. I don't know. You have like, mm-hmm. It's just really important.
And I'm always reminded of something that Barack Obama said when he was president, and that was, if you don't vote because you think that it's rigged or that it doesn't matter anyway because the 99% mm-hmm. or the 1% always win mm-hmm. and 99% always lose. One of the things he said, which I always thought was really pretty cool, mm-hmm. was he said, if everybody who didn't vote today actually took time to vote, it would outcast any of those people mm-hmm. that you think mm-hmm. are basically in power just because they grabbed yeah. it.
Well,
right?
I think, okay, so this is, again, speaking for Washington State, we have had so many races that yeah. come down to like 70 votes.
Absolutely.
To 23 votes, to one vote, to even in our time, if a vote gets tied, we flip a coin.
That's right.
And so if you don't think your vote counts, it like, do you understand that like, if you don't think your vote counts, then mm-hmm. you're going to spread this like knowledge that no one's votes count.
That's right.
Which really goes right back to you as the person. The moment you start voting and you tell it's important to yeah. start voting for someone else, it's not just one vote. Now it's five votes. Now it's six votes. And it really can yeah. make a whole difference, right. particularly when you think about your county race, the people that can, you know, assess your property, what that means to you, if you're a homeowner,
correct.
What that actually means if you're just someone that rents, because guess what? You rent to somebody that owns property. They may have to raise rents. You should pay attention to those races. They affect you month to month, year to year.
Do you have children? Superintendent of Public mm-hmm. Instruction might be an important race right. for you, right?
Same with school board.
Yeah, school board or property taxes mm-hmm. or school levies.
Right.
Anything like that.
Library, fire, police. There's multiple things on any ballots or ballot measures or just races mm-hmm. when we, you know, speak from, you know, different things. Or if you're not happy with who you see on the ballot, mm-hmm. get engaged and find someone you're happy with.
Really good example of this. Closest presidential election of all time. 362 votes were mm-hmm. the thing that lost Al Gore the election right. in 2000.
Yeah, that's 362 people.
362 votes in mm-hmm. Florida
yep.
was the difference between him winning Florida and losing Florida,
right.
winning the presidency and not winning the presidency.
Right.
The lowest voter turnout of all time happened in 1996. 49% was okay. the voter turnout for the presidential election. I imagine that the 2016, this might be dated because yeah. the 2016 election, actually, no, here it is. 1996 was the lowest of 49%. The 2016 voter turnout was 58%. So for those who say
yeah.
that like people didn't engage, we did. It's still not great. 58% is not phenomenal. Yeah. We need to get that into like the 75s, people.
Yeah. I mean, 58 is not a C.
Correct. The last general election for Washington State was 37%. The yeah. last primary for Washington State, according to the mm-hmm. Office of the Secretary of State, was at 29%.
And that was 2016. And I think that there's a lot to go there, right? Is I think 2016 can be frustrating on either level, mm-hmm. wherever at. And I think a lot of that, though, is frustrating to me because you can, there's still something on that ballot, mm-hmm. regardless of maybe higher office.
That's right.
And so to just go, I don't want to vote at all, there's other things on there that actually affected 2016 that year.
Absolutely.
That had nothing to do with, even if you didn't even look at just the races that yeah. were going, there was measures
yeah.
That were affected by a low turnout.
The reason why you can get liquor at Safeway.
Yeah.
And the reason why there's a marijuana dispensary mm-hmm. on the corner
mm-hmm.
In your neighborhood is because voting.
Right. Correct.
So it's not just like the president and some far on some senator who's in Washington, yeah, D.C., who you may think, well, I don't like him, so I don't want to vote for him. Mm-hmm. There are local issues that are happening, mm-hmm, and you should get out and vote.
Exactly. And just to like jump one more onto that is what I think is interesting is when we talk about those ballot measures, right? Those things that we see in particularly in Washington State that are initiatives, that's from the people. That is not from your member of Congress, right, or your representative, your senator putting that on the ballot. That was someone in your community getting enough signatures, getting them certified.
Pounding the pavement,
getting a collective amount of people together to get it onto either a statewide ballot or onto your local ballot. Correct. And it's important to participate in That's those
right.
things.
That's right. That's right. Give you a sense of the voter demographic. I'm just going to only mm-hmm. hit on folks who are millennials.
Okay.
Because I think this is really important. We have more younger folks who are coming into state government. As a result, we will also just naturally, we're going to have more millennials engaging in the government process.
Correct.
So millennials account for a third of the electorate.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're a big group.
Yeah, big group. And here I think is very interesting. And this is something that both parties have kind of like attempted to address. And I think it really, first of all, it's kind of cool because it answers to the diversity mm-hmm. of our country, mm-hmm. number one. Number two, it really offers up a roadmap for maybe, you know, the parties moving forward. 40%, almost half mm-hmm. of all millennials identify as non-white.
That's very interesting.
Making them the most diverse voting generation in the history of our country.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, I mean, if you look at it that way, mm-hmm. That is also why I think voting is so mm-hmm. important, because the issue of representation,
correct,
as we hit on when we talked about mm-hmm. the amendments and the fact that not everybody's always had the right to vote.
Correct.
The issue of representation in this country is hugely important. Mm-hmm. And if you don't vote, you don't get represented appropriately.
Right. Your vote is your voice.
Yes. When we have organizations in Seattle who basically try to engage Hispanics in voting, we have organizations in the CFD who basically attempt to make inroads with African Americans, mm-hmm. with women,
students making sure that kids at universities and community colleges have been registered to vote and changed where their ballot goes. A
That's
lot of
correct.
People forget that when you move, your ballot doesn't unless you change that.
So these charities on the ground are doing work to try and get mm-hmm. more people to vote.
Yeah.
The least you can do is just accommodate them and do it.
Yeah. Or, I mean, just do it because it's the right thing to do.
Yes, correct. So that's really interesting. I think, Jerrica, you might have some things for me.
I do.
Are you ready for some quizzing?
I'm ready to quiz you because now I feel like I did not do my millennial service by getting all those amendments wrong. And Correct. As a woman, I felt bad too. All right. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay. So I'm just going to ask you some civic literacy exam questions.
Okay.
In no particular order.
Oh, boy.
Because I'm reading them and I just thought about it.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
You didn't have to admit that.
I like to be honest
all
my answers.
Fine. Okay.
I'm going to start you off. Hopefully easy for you.
Oh, good Lord. I just did all this ranting about freedom and democracy, and then I'm not going to answer any of these questions correct.
Okay. All right. Name one right or freedom guaranteed by the First Amendment. A, right to bear arms.
Okay.
B, due process. Mm-hmm. C, religion. D, right to counsel.
It's going to be C, religion.
Correct.
Yes. One for one.
One for one. Don't know how many we're doing. Okay.
We're just going.
Susan B. Anthony was the leader of the movement to A, guarantee women the right to vote in a national election, mm-hmm. B, guarantee former slaves the right to vote,
okay.
C, ensure that harsher laws against criminals were passed, D, reduce the authority of the Constitution of the United States.
I'm going to go ahead and say A.
Good job. Yeah, guarantee women the right to vote in national elections. Good on you, sir. Mm. Now I'm going to go hard because I want you to fail.
Thanks. That's my employer, everybody.
Yep. All right. The Scopes monkey trial was about A, freedom of the press, mm-hmm. B, teaching evolution in schools, mm-hmm. C, prayer in the schools, D, education in private schools.
I'm going to say teaching evolution in schools.
Yeah, you're right.
Did I get it?
Yeah. That's three for three and still
it
don't know
the
where
monkey thing.
I figured. I realized that after I said question C or whatever, and I was like, dang. Okay. Here we go. In the area of the United States foreign policy, mm-hmm. Congress shares the power with the A, president, B, Supreme Court, C, state governments, or D, United Nations.
President.
You are correct.
Yes.
Gosh, you're good. Okay.
Okay.
Here we go. This is in the civic.
I could do this all day, by the way. This is super fun.
This is
this could be Trivia Pursuit, the nerdiest Trivia Pursuit on earth.
Okay, this is in a civics literacy exam. Ready?
Okay.
Business profit is A.
Oh, good Lord.
And yeah, this is, I'm getting there. I mean, we could do free markets, but I'm going to do this one instead.
Okay.
Business profit is A, cost minus revenue, B, assets minus liabilities, C, revenue minus expenses, D, selling price of stock minus its purchase price, E, earnings minus assets.
Oh my gosh. So it's either got to be E, or which is the earnings minus assets, or the revenue. What was the revenue minus?
Revenue minus expenses.
I'm going to say revenue minus expenses.
Dang it.
Did I get it?
Yes. Man. You're good.
I should have been an economics major.
Yeah.
Not at all. I'm terrible at math.
Okay, in October 1962, the United States and the Soviet Union came close to war over this issue, over the issue of Soviet A-controlled East Berlin, mm-hmm. B, missiles in Cuba, C, support of the Ho Chi Minh regime in Vietnam, mm-hmm. D, military support of the Marxist regime in Afghanistan.
Wow, you did happen to pick the thing that I specialized in college.
Yeah, I realized that after I also read
that. It was the Cuban Missile Crisis.
You are correct.
Yes.
All right, here we go. Kay. Last one.
Okay.
History one.
Yeah.
In 1938 mm-hmm. and 1936, the Supreme Court declared that important parts of the New Deal were unconstitutional.
Oh, wow.
President Roosevelt responded by threatening to A, impeach several Supreme Court justices, mm-hmm. B, eliminate the Supreme Court, C, appoint additional Supreme Court justices who shared his views, E, override the Supreme Court decisions by gaining 3/4 majority in both houses of Congress.
Wow, this will be a shot in the dark.
Okay.
So it's either going to be A, you know, like impeach the Supreme Court, or I'm going to say C, just basically dilute the Supreme Court mm-hmm. by bringing in more people.
What's your answer?
C.
You are correct.
Oh, yeah.
That's how we actually got 9 justices.
That's insanity.
Yeah.
All right.
Good on you. You literally passed.
Holy cow.
Literacy exam.
I feel all civically well read.
Well, I'm glad. We should actually just do that more often.
For real, we should just do a podcast where we just do like civic engagement.
Yeah, ooh, we could do like a fun like panel, and we have like a panel of people.
I love it.
Okay, well now it's marketed.
Done.
Good.
Wow, that was pretty fun.
Okay. Yeah,
I really enjoyed that nerdtastic.
I did too.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, hey, everyone. I appreciate you listening to this podcast and our other ones. It is voting day. We really appreciate everyone taking a moment to listen. And please make sure you get your ballot in on time. There's ballot drop boxes that you can use or postmark your date today before 8 p.m. So obviously the post office closes before then.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you get in to get that postmark date. Again, it's free of charge, because it's a prepaid postage this year for the general election. Find a ballot box. They're also free to use.
Mm-hmm.
You have no excuse.
You can also download the Secretary of State's election results,
which
app
is even cooler, because it's like you're participating in live time every time they every time they count the votes.
I just want to echo Jerrica's earlier sentiments and tell everybody that, like, not just the national presidential election, because it's on CNN or Fox News mm-hmm. or MSNBC. Those aren't the only ones mm-hmm. that matter.
Mm-hmm.
It actually is the sort of quote unquote non-sexier ones that actually make a huge difference within your own community.
I would actually say sometimes a bigger difference, particularly in whatever area of business or sector that you work or live in, it's going to be affected. And you may not know this, but This whole time, your county council members have actually been debating each other. Mm-hmm. Commissioners have been debating each other. If you're unaware...
I mean, they've been debating each other like a Grange. So, I mean, yeah, it's been tough to go
yeah,
to.
Yeah, but like...
But they still have.
They still have. And it's an opportunity for you to go see. And if you are still trying to waver, go look their video up. I'm sure that yep. you can find it.
Check out the online voter yep. pamphlet.
Exactly.
On the Secretary of State's website.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to take up too much more of everybody's time.
No.
Because we want them to go vote.
Yeah, now.
Yes.
But don't forget to rate and review us.
Yes. So, want to thank everybody for listening to this particular, to us rant mm-hmm. and rave about voting. But we really do think it's very important, especially given the fact that around the world, this is not a gift that a lot of people get.
That's true.
So, make sure you get out there and vote today. By the time the polls close, mm-hmm. follow the election results and like us and review us, mm-hmm. as Jerrica said.
Yes.
And we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah. Have a good night and go vote.